Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note, this call is being recorded. I will be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Mr. John Lawrence. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I'm John Lawrence. I'm the Director of Communications here at the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, abbreviated USIRF. Just a few rules. This is an on-the-record call, and as the operator said, it's being recorded. The only real rule after our chairman makes his opening remarks is that when you speak and ask a question, we need you to identify yourself so that everybody knows who's on the call. And with that, I'll turn it over to our chair, Father Tom Reese. Tom?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for calling in. I'm Thomas Reese, chair of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. For those of you who don't know USIRF, we are an independent, bipartisan U.S. commission, first of its kind in the world, in fact. We are dedicated to monitoring the universal right to freedom of religion or belief abroad. We review the facts and circumstances of religious freedom violations and make policy recommendations to the President, the Secretary of State, and Congress. USIRF has 9 commissioners appointed by the President and the congressional leadership of both political parties. Let me stress that we are not the Department of State. USIRF is a federal government commission mandated to make policy recommendations. USIRF does not make U.S. government policy. We make policy recommendations. The State Department also has an annual report on religious freedom, but that is different from ours. Our report covers 3 basic groups of countries. First, there are countries of particular concern, or the CPCs. These are countries that engage in or tolerate systematic, ongoing, and egregious religious freedom abuses. Second, we have a Tier 2 list for countries that have serious religious freedom violations, but those violations do not rise to the CPC level. Finally, we have other countries and regions that we monitor. These can be countries that have been either CPCs or Tier 2, or simply countries where USIRF saw emerging issues or troubling trends that didn't rise to CPC or to Tier 2 level. As I said, we are required under the International Religious Freedom Act to issue a report each year with recommendations to the President, the Secretary of State, and Congress. A key component of this report is our recommendation as to what countries deserve to be designated countries of particular concern, CPCs, when it comes to religious freedom violations. CPCs represent the worst of the worst when it comes to religious oppression. But I want to stress that it's not just what a government actively is doing. Governments also are responsible for tolerating abusive behavior against religious freedoms, whether or not these abuses are actually conducted by the governments. For example, if a mob is attacking a church, a synagogue, or a mosque, it's the responsibility of the government to protect the religious freedom of the people in those worship spaces. USIRF's report this year covers 37 countries and regions. You can see the full report and all the countries on our website at www.uscirf.gov. This year, USERF recommends that the U.S. government designate 16 countries as CPCs. 10 of these countries have already been designated CPCs by the State Department: Burma, China, Eritrea, Iran, North Korea, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan. We also recommend 6 more countries be added to the CPC category. They are the Central African Republic, Nigeria, Pakistan, Russia, Syria, and Vietnam. I want to highlight that for the first time, we call out Russia as a CPC. Vladimir Putin and the Russian government have shown themselves to be some of the worst and most serious violators of religious freedom in the world. The United States needs to recognize this fact and send a clear message to Russia that we will not tolerate its continued campaign of attack and intimidation against the freedom of religion or belief. We all saw the Russian Supreme Court decision last week that banned the legal existence of Jehovah Witnesses in Russia. Through a cynical use of an extremely flawed set of anti-extremism laws, Russia has banned, for the first time in its history, a centrally administered religion. But let me stress that this ruling was made well after the Commission had already voted to recommend Russia as a CPC. The Russian Supreme Court ruling on the Jehovah Witnesses just confirmed that USERF's CPC recommendation was appropriate, justified, and timely. The Russian government's premeditated attack demonstrates that it does not consider itself bound by internationally recognized norms or conventions. A Russian justice minister official reportedly described the Jehovah Witnesses as a threat to public order and public security. Given that the Witnesses are known globally for their pacifism and avoidance of politics, that statement is as absurd on its face as it seems. For Tier 2, USERF includes Bahrain for the first time. That government's campaign against its majority Shia Muslim population intensified during the year, particularly a significant increase in the number of arrests and unfounded charges against Shia clerics. The other countries on our Tier 2 list include Afghanistan, Azerbaijan, Cuba, Egypt, India, Indonesia, Iraq, Pakistan, Laos, Malaysia, and Turkey. In our category of other countries and regions monitored, we have included Mexico for the first time. One of the reasons for this is that a law meant to protect the autonomy of indigenous people's religious freedom has been used to pressure followers of minority religions to convert and or practice the majority religion. There is still other news in our report that I want to highlight. For several years, USERF has recommended that both Egypt and Iraq be designated CPCs for violations of religious freedom in these countries. We do not recommend the CPC designation this year for several reasons. For Egypt, we see positive steps by the government of President Sisi with regard to engagement with minority religious communities, particularly Coptic Christians. USERF remains disappointed, however, that these positive steps take place against a background of a dismal overall human rights situation and increasing attacks by ISIS-affiliated groups. In Iraq, although ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, continues to commit genocide and ruthlessly targets anyone who does not adhere to its barbaric worldview, the central government has tried to decrease sectarian tensions. And that brings me to a new aspect of this report. In December, a new law tasked the State Department with designating non-state entities as entities of particular concern, or EPCs. These are groups that violate religious freedom in a systematic way. In this report, USERF recommends three non-state actors for such designation for the first time. Non-state actors such as ISIS can at times be the most egregious violators of religious freedom. For purposes of these new designations, Congress has defined such non-state entities as groups that exercise significant political power and territorial control, are outside the control of a sovereign government, and often employ violence in pursuit of their objectives. We have therefore recommended that the Secretary of State designate three groups as EPCs: ISIS in Iraq and Syria, the Taliban in Afghanistan, and Al-Shabaab in Somalia. Those are our overall recommendations for 2017, and I welcome any questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. If you need to withdraw your question, you can press the pound key at any time. Once again, that is star and one on your touch-tone phone to ask a question. We will pause momentarily to allow questions to queue. And once again, to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone telephone. And we will take our first question from Ron Kempias with the Jewish Telegraphic Agency. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking our call. I'm wondering about this complaint by one of your commissioners, James Zogby, that you're not addressing issues of religious freedom in Israel. I mean, it's not getting to the point where he's demanding that you declare Israel a CPC or anything. He just wants to look into issues of access for Christians and Muslims, and also the status of non-Orthodox Jews in Israel. He's going to be having a press conference in about 15 minutes. Do you have anything? I mean, you must have seen his complaints. Do you have anything to say about them?
Well, as you know, the issue of Israel and Palestine is a controversial issue around the world and also in the United States. So it's not surprising that there would be some controversy and disagreements within our commission on these issues. The commission frequently receives information and meets with representatives of outside groups. We listen to their concerns as part of our ongoing work to hear, you know, from voices on the ground. The commission is a body of nine individuals, and we, of course, all have our own opinions. Under the governance model of the commission that we follow, we listen, we welcome new ideas. When a commissioner makes a recommendation, we discuss it. Ultimately, though, if the commission is going to move forward on something, it requires a vote of a majority of the commission to do that. This suggestion was discussed by the commission, and a majority of the commissioners did not vote to move forward on it. So I think it's important to point out that, you know, our report has bipartisan consensus on the countries that we do cover in this report. The support of the commissioners has been overwhelming for the country reports that we have here, the recommendations in terms of CPC, what's a CPC and what is not a CPC. We have bipartisan consensus and agreement on that, and I think that's very important to realize.
And our next question will come from Jason Lemire with Newsweek. Please go ahead.
Hi, Thomas. This is Jason Lemire from Newsweek. I was wondering if you could tell me, in the grand scale of worldwide religious freedom infringement, how serious do you consider Russia's ban on Jehovah's Witnesses?
Well, this is a very serious violation, Jason. I mean, it's banning a religion throughout the country. It is going to be confiscating their property. They're, you know, basically they're declaring them outlaws. You know, we do not feel that religious freedom is respected when a government decides who can be a religion and who can't be a religion, and that only authorizes and accepts religions that are registered and authorized and supported by the government. This is truly a violation of religious freedom. We believe that people should have the right to believe what they want, should have to also have the right to assemble as believers and worship together, have the right to change their religion and that. But I would also want to remind you that our concerns about Russia are not just about the Jehovah's Witnesses. We're also very concerned about what's happening in terms of religious freedom in the in Ukraine, where Russia has invaded a country illegally and occupied it, and is now imposing its religious restrictions, its very tough registration laws on the religions in the Crimea. This is, you know, and especially groups like the Muslim Tatars there, where people are, their representatives, their leadership is being arrested, their representative organization is being banned. We see also problems for the Ukrainian Catholic Church there and other groups that the Russian occupiers are not allowing to practice their religion. So it's not just the Jehovah's Witnesses that we are concerned about. We're concerned about how the Muslims are being treated and how other groups are being treated that the Russian government does not approve of.
And our next question will come from Thomas Szyszkowitz, sorry for that, with the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Please go ahead.
This is Thomas Szyszkowitz with the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. And I am wondering about a couple of things. One is you have this new entities of particular concern category. And I'm curious about a couple of groups that I thought should have been on there but are not, and one of those is Al-Qaeda and the other one being Abu Sayyaf. I'm just wondering why those were not included on there.
That's a really excellent question, and part of it has to do with the definition of entities of particular concern in the congressional legislation. In fact, I asked this very question myself during the commission meeting. because I was concerned about some other entities like Boko Haram.
Right.
The way the law is written, they have to have some territorial control, significant territorial control area that they actually occupy and have control over. So if they don't have territorial control, like Boko Haram, you know, 2 years ago, I think we would have been easily, you know, talked about Boko Haram as an EPC. But they have been pushed back so far that now we wouldn't classify them in that way. And this would be, I think, the same true with Al-Qaeda in Iraq and those kinds of organizations. But that was a very good question. Thank you, Tom.
And if I could follow up on the discussion about Russia, you mentioned what they're doing in Crimea. Are they doing those same things in the Russian mainland? Are you seeing those kinds of actions taking place throughout, the entire vast majority or vast territory of Russia?
Yeah, these things are also going on in other parts of Russia, where especially with the Muslims in other parts of Russia, they're using these extremism laws to go after them. In the Caucasus, of course, for many years, this has been going on. Anybody with a beard is considered an extremist and can be arrested, as opposed to these kinds of situations. So this is a systemic problem throughout Russia that we are concerned about, not just in the Crimea.
Okay, thank you.
And as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. We will take our next question from Yang Wang with NTB. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. My question is, can you talk about the situation in China? Anything outstanding last year? And also, how about the heavily persecuted group of Falun Gong? Any changes last year? And the last question is, what's your recommendation for the new administration in dealing with religious freedom issue with China?
Yeah, China is of course a particular problem in terms of religious freedom. They have been designated as a CPC country since 1999, and frankly, we don't see things getting any better. In some places, they've been getting worse. Of course, there's been severe persecution of the Uyghur Muslims being, treated as radicals. The Falun Gong are just one example of the kinds of violations of freedom of religion or belief that occurs in China. They have been targeted. Especially, but so have Muslims, so have Christians, where we've seen this kind of thing. We've seen, believers being detained, imprisoned, tortured. There's even reports of harvesting of human organs from Falun Gong practitioners. And this is, of course, a gross violation of humanity by the Chinese government that should simply not be tolerated and should be stopped. And of course, I can't not mention the Tibetan Buddhists who have been suffering severe persecution by the Chinese. So there just are very, very serious issues in terms of the treatment of religion in China.
So what's your recommendation for the new administration?
Well, I think that the new administration has to raise these issues with the Chinese government whenever there are meetings. You know, we hope that President Trump raised these issues with the Chinese president when he was here in the United States. We recommend that they continue to designate China as a CPC because of its egregious, ongoing, and systematic violations of freedom of religion. We hope that they'll continue to raise these issues, you know, at the highest level. And we want the U.S. Embassy and the consulates in China to really try and maintain, you know, contact with human rights and religious freedom activists so that they know that, you know, someone is watching and listening. This is the kind of thing that's important. You know, we're especially concerned about prisoners of conscience, people who have been arrested because of their advocacy for religious freedom. And I think it's important to press the government to release these prisoners, or, you know, or at least to treat them humanely and allow them to have visits from their families and from human rights monitors, and to make sure that they get adequate medical care and treatment. I mean, even, you know, allowed to talk to their lawyers. These are the kinds of things that prisoners of conscience simply are usually not allowed in China. And these are the things I think our government should ask the government of China to pay attention to.
And our next question comes from Delinda Hanley with the Washington Report on Police Affairs. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Delinda Hanley. In November 11th, major U.S. religious communities wrote to you asking for you to add Israel to your list, and they accompanied their request with a 192-page report on the freedom of religion in Israel and occupied Palestine. What will it take for you to investigate Israel?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, in response to the earlier question, we get a number of requests from outside groups. We get a number of recommendations from commissioners who are on the commission about things that we should do. The simple answer is we need a majority vote to take on any new project like this. We have lots of things that we are working on. For example, we've had studies of blasphemy violations and blasphemy laws. This is a report that we'll be soon releasing, and the problems that are caused by these blasphemy laws, especially in countries like Pakistan and others. We have done a major report, for example, on textbooks. And trying to work with governments and with the State Department on improving textbooks around the world and how they talk about religious groups. This is extremely important that, you know, in terms of educating a new generation about how they should treat people of other faiths. And so these are projects that people came to us and suggested and that were discussed by the commission and taken on. You know, we're open to listening to recommendations from anybody. But ultimately, you know, the commission makes these decisions on where we're going to focus our attention.
And our next question comes from Charles Collins with Crux Now. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I saw that at least with Iran, you were suggesting that the U.S. government reestablish giving priority to members of religious minorities. There was a lot of controversy earlier this year when the Trump administration gave an exception to religious minorities to its famous ban from the seven and later six countries. Are you concerned by people saying that giving preference to religious minorities facing persecution is somehow or other establishing a religious test for immigrants?
You know, in terms of looking at people who apply for refugee status in the United States or come as immigrants, we are very much opposed to any kind of religious test or discrimination. We believe that people should be looked upon as human beings who are suffering there, and that the United States should be a welcoming place for people who are suffering persecution and are not allowed to practice their faith and have been persecuted, in fact, because of their faith. These are people who I think should be considered for refugee status and for immigration. This is something we're very much concerned about. As you know, there is in Congress the Lautenberg Amendment that was enacted in 1990, and we have supported that as a way of facilitating the resettlement of people who have suffered religious persecution.
But how is that not being in favor of religious minorities, because those are the people who are most likely to be facing persecution?
Sometimes they are religious minorities, sometimes they're members of the majority religion, but considered heretics and that sort of thing. I mean, basically what we're talking about is people who are very vulnerable. These are the people that get a priority in terms of refugee status. It's based on their vulnerability. And we're simply saying that suffering religious persecution makes people vulnerable. And that's why they should given serious consideration for refugee status.
Thank you.
And we're not singling out any particular religions. We're talking about everybody, anybody who is persecuted for religious reasons.
And once again, to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. We'll take our next question from Jalil Kashgari with Radio Free Asia. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you, Mr. Reyes. My question is regarding China, especially the Chinese policy in Uyghur Autonomous Region. Chinese authority recent months expanding their state control in the region, and also authorities see and expanding control in the region as a necessary preventive measure, which including adopted the anti-extremism law and punished the local Uyghur officials for refusing to smoke near Muslim elders, and also banned parents from giving their children a dozen of Islamic names. So are you concerned on recent development? What would be your recommendation for U.S. administration on this situation?
Yeah, we're very considered about the treatment of the Uyghur Muslims. This is something that we highlight in our report and spend some time talking about it. They're treating these people like they're all radicals and revolutionaries. And we've asked the U.S. government to coordinate with other diplomatic missions and foreign delegations, including the United Nations and the European Union, to advocate for these the Uyghurs and with the Chinese officials during visits to China. This is extremely important that this issue and the protection of these people be brought up constantly with the Chinese government. This is something that we have been working on. We've actually received visitors from this community here in Washington and listened to their concerns and talked to them. And one of the prisoners of conscience that has been chosen by one of our commissioners, each of the commissioners is choosing a prisoner of conscience that we are going to sponsor and to highlight. And one of them that has been chosen is a Uyghur prisoner of conscience. And this is extremely important that these prisoners be given, you know, decent treatment and, you know, ultimately released. But the Chinese government has been treating, you know, peaceful, innocent people as extremists and as terrorists and revolutionaries. And we think this is totally unfair and really an infringement on their religious freedom. And so absolutely, this is a topic that we are raising, and we ask the U.S. government to raise with China.
And once again, to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. That's star and one on your touch-tone phone to ask a question. And at this time, it looks like we have no further questions.
Well, I want to thank you all for coming on the call. Again, I want to emphasize that the entire report is at our website, www.uscirf.gov, where it can be downloaded. We're also going to have it in a number of languages also, which is, I think, an important service that our staff has provided for us.
We do have one more.
Whoa, I see we have one more question, so go ahead.
And yes, I do apologize for that. We have a follow-up question from Charles Collins with Crux Now. Please go ahead.
Hi, Charles.
Talk about, you had that special section on the concerns about Western Europe, and there was a wide variety of concerns, from, you know, how they, what's going on with religious dress to anti-terrorism things. Do you see a pattern, or are these just kind of specific things that are happening?
Well, this was something that we wanted to give some attention to because we expect Western Europe to be a model of respect and pluralism and respect for religious freedom. And we were very concerned about the rise of anti-Semitism and the rise of Islamophobia in Europe. So this is why we gave it the attention that we did. You know, the concern about religious dress, the use of the ability to wear symbols, to, you know, these are things that I think are, frankly, I think they're causing more unrest and problems by these government interference and people's expression of their religious views and practices. And I think it's something we want our friends in Europe to take a second look at and to think about, so that there is a much, you know, this is causing, you know, kind of a hostile atmosphere for religious expression in Western Europe. So we're concerned about that. We're concerned because it, you know, it escalates into discrimination, harassment, and even sometimes violence against groups. So this is why we included Western Europe in this section in terms of monitoring them. Obviously, these are not CPC countries. These are not violations that rise to the level of even what we call Tier 2 countries. But, you know, I guess it's because it's among our friends and people who we expect better of, that we pointed to these, especially the growing anti-Semitism and the growing Islamophobia that we see there. And we think that government should really work against these things rather than feeding the frenzy with these kinds of harassments and laws about dress and religious symbols in public places.
Thank you very much.
I see we have one or two more questions, so I'll be happy to stick around for those.
And we'll take our next question from Kelsey Dallas with the Deseret News. Please go ahead.
In the introduction to the report, you talk about how religious freedom violations around the world can be overwhelming, so sometimes observers actually grow numb to them. And I just wondered what observers you had in mind.
Well, I think this is a problem. I mean, it's kind of the fatigue that people get on these kinds of issues, that they're happening everywhere, and what can you do? And we think that's really a tragedy. I mean, if you watch the television news at night, how much attention do cable news stations give to the issue of religious freedom around the world? Really, very little. And this is something that I think we have to continue to remind people of, because this is something that impacts people on a very fundamental level. This impacts human beings. I mean, it's human beings that are in jail. It's human beings that are being tortured and persecuted. Religious beliefs are at the core of who we are and our identity as persons. And when this is infringed on, when this is persecuted, this is really a terrible thing. But we can get, we can get numb to it, just as we can get numb to any kind of tragedy that happens in our world. And this is, I think, something that we need to struggle against. I think one of the things that we're doing as a commission to kind of personalize this is we're developing a new project called Prisoners, which is focusing on prisoners of conscience, because this puts a human face on the tragedy of these violations of religious freedom. It tells a story, not just a statistic. And I think we have to remind people that that these violations, they're not just statistics. They're not just short news stories. These are human beings. These are families that are suffering, communities that are really afraid and in pain because they're not able to practice their religion in the way they want. So we fear this kind of fatigue is really almost universal with government officials, with the media, with people on the street, and we're looking for ways to make this more visible to people in the United States.
And we'll take a follow-up question from Thomas Siskowitz with the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Tom Siskevich with the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. And I just want to follow up a little bit on what Charles Collins was talking about with the focus on Western Europe and take it a little bit one step closer to us and to the Anti-Defamation League report that came out that said there was a 36% increase in anti-Semitic incidents in the United States over last year, and just in the first quarter of this year, an 80-some-odd percent increase. And just the I want to kind of couple that with what is perceived by many, if you will, conservative Christians who see that the who think that their ideas and, you know, that just kind of Christianity in general is under pressure here in the United States. Do you have, does the current report have any discussion at all about religious freedom in our own country?
No. Personally, I'm very concerned about the issues that you raise, and I'm happy to hear you raise them. But the commission is very strictly, our mandate is very strictly legislated in law, and we can only comment on religious freedom issues outside the United States. Our mandate does not cover religious freedom issues in the United States. So, you know, while as a person, and I know many of our, all of the commissioners have their own views on this, this is not something that we are allowed under law to comment on.
Okay.
And once again, to ask a question, it's star and one on your touch-tone phone. That's star and one on your touch-tone phone for a question. I'll pause for just a moment to allow questions to queue. And it looks like we have no further questions at this time.
Okay, thank you again to everyone. And, you know, if you have further follow-up questions, John, you can contact John here at the office. We're more than happy to provide you with any information that you need. Thank you very much for calling in. We look forward to seeing your stories on our report, and I'll turn it over to John for final words.
Just if you do have any questions or comments, please contact me, John Lawrence. JLawrence@USCIRF.gov. Thank you for calling in today. Have a great day.